Good evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening, though they were warned of who was preaching this evening. A few of you showed up anyway. Glad to have the opportunity to speak to you this evening. I think it's always good that we start off with, especially those of us who aren't usually in this position in the pulpit, that it's certainly my desire and prayer that everything presented here is strictly according to the Word of God, and you're my friend. You won't cause me any embarrassment to come to me afterwards or during the sermon to say, you know, something's amiss from God's Word. Be my friend to do that. I certainly don't want to spread error. I think it's 3 or 4 months ago, Trey brought a lesson on the heart. Maybe mentioned folks asking him, "How's your heart?" And the title of my lesson this evening is "You Might Have a Heart Problem If." Now I want to talk about heart problems. Day in and day out, as you know, I deal with people having heart problems. Some just think they're having a heart problem. We have to do some testing to see whether they do or not. Sometimes it's very easy. When Joe calls me from the ER and says I have something called a STEMI, that means there are changes on the EKG coupled with some symptoms, you can be quite confident. We don't need any more lab work. We don't need anything else. We need to take them straight to the cath lab and open up the vessel, and Joe can probably tell you what vessel it is from the EKG. And that's actually the easy part. The hard part is when folks come in with symptoms that it's not quite clear whether this is due to their heart or their stomach or their lungs or whatever, and we have to do further testing to find the answer. And I'm going to talk a little bit about us testing our hearts. Sometimes in clinic, well, folks want to come in and they want to tell me everything about every system from head to toe and what happened right after they were born and what marriages have occurred in the last decade. And I would actually enjoy talking to them, but I need to get straight to the heart issues. So many times I'll begin our visit with, "How's your heart? How's your heart doing?" And many times, if it's a routine visit, they'll say, "It's okay, I guess." Sometimes they are okay, but sometimes they have some progressive disease that they don't have symptoms, some silent ischemia. Or they may be having some symptoms that they don't attribute to their heart, that of course they're going to be in denial, they're going to attribute this to their stomach or other things. And they may be on their way to having a heart attack. And I think that many times this is the most dangerous situation. And this requires some testing to find out, is there really a heart issue? But if one thinks that they're okay, then there's no incentive to change their lifestyle or their medications or treatment to prevent the impending event, the heart attack or whatever is in their future. And sometimes we need to test our hearts to see if indeed they are okay. And if at the end of this sermon you come up to me and say, "Hey, I need to make an appointment to make a test," then you've totally missed the point of the whole lesson, and I'm not trying to drum up business. I hope everybody's heart's wonderful. But we're going to talk about a different heart. But let me go back and just mention one other thing. People who do have a heart issue, they do not come to a medical professional to treat their symptoms. They don't come to Joe in the ER having a heart attack, and Joe can give them some medicine where that they're not hurting anymore. And those leads of the EKG that are abnormal, well, he can unhook those and make the EKG look better. They can probably filter out the troponin out of their blood and make their blood work look better. and make them look like, hey, you're okay. You're not hurting. Your EKG that we have looks okay. Your blood work looks okay. But that's not what we want to do. We want to treat the source of the problem. We want to open up the blockage and all these other things. These signs and symptoms eventually resolve. In the sermon, we're talking not about this pumping organ, but this heart, this thing that can reason. Matthew 9:47, Jesus knew the reasoning of their hearts. It can love. It can love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. It can be cut. In Acts 2, when Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, as he's presenting the gospel, and what did it do? The hearts of many, it cut them. And they had the desire to be obedient. It's something that can be right or wrong with God. Something through which we can become obedient. Obedient from the heart. We can believe in our heart that Jesus, that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's the dwelling place of the Spirit of the Son of Christ through faith. And as Scott mentioned in his prayer, it's where we make melody, where we sing and make melody. That's in our hearts. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 is something that the Lord can direct to love Him. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. That is the heart we're talking about. I'm going to talk about a few heart tests that we can perform on ourselves to make sure that we're right. Some are going to be just very simple and very obvious. And hopefully for some of our younger listeners, they can understand. And some will get a little more in depth. And I hope that I get across the meaning that I want to get across. When do we test? A lot of times I'm seeing folks in clinic and they're busy and they don't think they have a heart problem, but I'm seeing something on EKG and a few things, risk factors, and I say, we need to test your heart. And they say, okay, when do we need to do this test? And I used to try to tell them how important it was to go ahead and get this done soon. And of course they come back with, I got vacation, I've got to do this, that, and other. But I learned from a wise older physician how to cure that. He said, we just need to do it the day before your heart attack. And then they're like, okay, yeah, can we do it? Let me see, I can do it tomorrow, the next, let's get it done quickly. And I think that's we need to test our heart, make sure it's right with God before it's everlastingly too late. So I would say today, I used to think, when I was younger, and boy, I shouldn't tell you about some things I thought, but when I was in school, a lot of it wasn't to learn the material, it was to pass the test. And if Cliff Notes could enter in and save me from reading the book, it did. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of access to Cliff Notes. Didn't learn about them until I think about 11th grade. Didn't have access to that. So I used to think, it'd be great if one could just live their life just however they wanted to, doing whatever they wanted to, not being encumbered by these rules and regulations that we read about in the Bible. And then say a day or maybe even 30 minutes before judgment, we can just get that little heads up warning, make things right with God, and then we have our eternal home in heaven, and we've been able to live however we wanted to from our lives up to that point. Obviously, this is a very immature view, but as I see it now, that is us trying to get out of a lifetime of service to our Lord, which he deserves, and which he desires. And we should be desiring to give our lives to him throughout our lives and not do our own selfish will as long as we can to serve him for a minimal amount of time. And if this is my attitude, then I have a heart problem. So again, the answer is now. We're not promised tomorrow. We know what James 4 says about how that we do not know what tomorrow may bring. Our lives is but a vapor, so when to test, when to make sure our heart is right with God is now. So, why test? Why test our hearts? To make sure we're not deceiving ourselves. To make sure that that we know that our heart is right with God. We're told to examine our lives. In the Bible also, one that may come to mind, 1 Corinthians 11, on the first day of the week as we are partaking of the Lord's Supper. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? We need to examine ourselves to test ourselves. We need to do that frequently. We can't say, yeah, I did that 20 years ago and I was okay. I have patients that say that. Yeah, I had a cath, 1990. It's just fine. It's clean. That doesn't help you in 2018. Almost said 2017. So why not test ourselves? Why not test ourselves? As Joe was mentioning this morning, sometimes we don't want to know. Or we may know, but don't want to face the truth. So it may condemn us. May show us that we need to change. We may not want to change. We may not want to know the truth. Again, may be afraid of what we find out. I'm sure it's the case in college, but I just really remember in med school, we had an upcoming test. You had a new, and two, we didn't have many. We may have a semester, and you had maybe two tests, and they're two huge tests that contributed heavily to your grade. You didn't want to mess up on the test. You wanted to know ahead of time whether you were prepared. And a lot of the professors or the note service made available to us old tests. So it gave you a little taste of what the professor was going to ask. Were they multiple choice questions? How difficult, how tricky were they? And you can take some of these old tests and see if you were prepared, or you may take one and say, wow, I just thought I knew this material. I need to go back and really study. So we want to be prepared on test day and not wish we could go back and be better prepared. Because when the final test is graded or judged, you earn your score and it can't be changed. And we don't want to be surprised and find that we've been deceived on the day of judgment. So I was talking to Trey about this a week ago, and I'll give him credit for some of this format. And he was saying that, you know, you might could use the old, you might be a redneck if format. Okay, so this came from our preacher here, okay? You might be a redneck if. So I decided to change this instead of you might be a redneck, you know, change it to I, because I'm preaching to myself, and if I step on your toes, well, I'm on mine first. And I said, I change it to I might have a heart problem if, but the truth would be I could probably drop the might. I have a heart problem if, but I'm going to leave the might because it fits the redneck format here. I might have a heart problem if I have no problem planning and preparing for the tailgate activities a week before the game, but scramble to write in the answers in the blanks of my lesson book a few minutes before class, or worse, during class, or not even bothering to bring my book. Now I'm going to go through several of these quickly, and you say, oh yeah, that's clear. And some we're going to dive into a little deeper. I might have a heart problem if I have no problem getting to bed early and getting up early to make it to the ball game 4 hours before. Or early to work, because this is important. I don't want to disappoint my boss. But don't make it a priority to make it to services rested and on time, prepared and ready to worship. I might have a heart problem if I have no problem devoting many hours and even years to learning my profession, but give only the leftover minutes, if there are any, to studying God's Word. I might have a heart problem if I can stay at the ball game through a double overtime and totally lose track of time, but repeatedly glance at my watch if the sermon goes over 30 minutes. I might have a heart problem if I get excited anticipating a vacation. This brings to mind one time I was going through a particularly rough section of work, didn't have many days off, and we were going to Disney a week or so later, and I can remember every time I was in a position we're put in this dark room and we have to just read echoes and stress tests and CTs in a day, and we can play some music, and I kept going by playing Disney music, just anticipating that vacation. So we get excited anticipating a vacation, but not about worshiping and serving God. I might have a heart problem if I excitedly share the news of a marriage, a new child, an exciting sports win, an accomplishment of one of my children, but are reluctant, maybe even embarrassed, to share my faith, share the gospel with others. Brought to mind Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, this is Jesus speaking, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. I might have a heart problem if I have difficulty bridling my tongue. James 1:26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. You'd be thinking, whoa, Jimmy, you're getting out of the line here. This is a tongue problem. This isn't a heart problem. That's for the problem with your tongue lesson. The mouth speaks from the heart. James 3:9-12, regarding the tongue. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. It's a little more clear and direct in Matthew 15:10-20. I'm not going to read all this whole section, but this is where the Pharisees and scribes come to Jesus asking why his disciples break the tradition of the elders and do not wash their hands before they eat. Excuse me. In verse 11, Jesus said, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles the person." And then later Peter asked him to explain this. Verse 17, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." If we have a tongue problem, we have a heart problem. We don't fix the tongue, we fix the heart. "That this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person." I may have a heart problem if I worship God a certain way because this is the way I like it. And unfortunately, I've heard that recently. "Oh, that was such a beautiful service. Such a beautiful worship service. What made it beautiful? What do we mean? Because that's the way I liked it. That's the way I like the music. That's the way I like the purely nothing but encouraging, uplifting, everybody's okay message? Or is it because this is what God wants, what he desires of us?" When I worship according to my desire, man's desire. I have a heart problem, and my worship is worthless. It's in vain. Matthew 15, 8 and 9 speaks of the scribes and Pharisees who, for the sake of tradition, the tradition of men, what men desire to do, have made void the word of God. And Jesus calls them hypocrites and quotes Isaiah's prophecy of them. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. I might have a heart problem if my worship is a routine set of acts that I go through with little thought. On the surface, it may appear the same way. It may appear we're doing everything exactly right and that God is pleased. On the surface, may pray, sing, take the Lord's Supper, give, listen to a sermon, take notes. But is my heart here? Is my mind here? Am I engaged in the worship? You know, when is the last time I told the Lord that I loved Him? And if you're thinking about, when did I? Just a few minutes ago, Joe led us in song. And some of that song, we were singing to God, telling God we loved Him. You know, was our mind there? Was our mind there? I might have a heart problem if my mind is filled with things concerning this temporal world, the next meal, the day at work, work meeting, paycheck, retirement. And all of these things are good and important and necessary. I think all those are necessary. Yeah. But we rarely think about the spiritual things, the things above, our eternal plans. We have a heart problem. Romans 8, 5 through 11. Speaking of having our minds on the flesh and temporal things. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. My last test. I might have a heart problem if I say, I love God, and I don't do His commandments. I don't obey Him. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The converse of this isn't necessarily true, because we could, out of habit, upbringing, training, may just naturally do what appears to be commandment keeping. But our heart's not in it. I was raised in the church. On Sunday, I don't know anything else to do, but that's what I do. I go to worship service. It's out of habit. That's just our routine on Sunday. When the plate's passed, I partake the Lord's Supper. When we sing the songs, I sing the songs. I'll take notes. But we can do all that and not have our heart in it. We can do that out of habit, and we can be deceived. We may think we love God, and we're going through a good routine, a good habit to be in, no doubt. But we don't need to be deceived in that way. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 15 through 18, that false prophets could be recognized by their fruit. When on the surface they may appear to be sheep, But inwardly, in their hearts, they are ravenous wolves. What fruits should we see flowing from our hearts? The fruit of the Spirit should be flowing from our hearts. Galatians 5, 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, do we need to strive to develop a superficial pattern of behavior of doing what appears to be right and have these traits in our lives? Or do we need to change our heart toward that these flow from our lives? No, we need to strive for hearts changed by God that are, as we read in Romans 12, 23, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, that by testing we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To have changed hearts, not changed habits. Let us strive not only to change our behavior habits, or let us not only change our behavior and habits, neglecting the need of a changed heart, but rather that we read and study and be immersed in God's Word and to be affected by His great love for us, by the mercy and the grace that He has shown us, and allow our hearts to be changed, to be transformed, to love God, to desire to obey Him, and then produce fruit consistent with our changed hearts. I'm going to end with something that many of you have already read, just maybe last week. And I didn't ask Trey if this was a coincidence that on the 14th, that the news, the Northeast Newsletter contained an article by Kyle Pope entitled "With All Your Heart." Was that a coincidence, or is that no coincidence? It was a coincidence. Really? Okay. The last paragraph of that article, I'm just going to read. I think it's so fitting to end with. Our love for God must be with all our heart. So many in our world claim wholehearted love for God, yet walk in sin, harboring ungodly thoughts and attributes, and allow themselves to maintain ignorance of God's will. Let's never make the mistake of thinking that giving our heart to God just means that we have strong emotions for Him. The heart God wants is much more than just our feelings, passions, and emotions. It is the part of us which thinks, believes, forgives, is cut, and is able to motivate us to good works. That is what God demands from us, and He'll be satisfied with no less. Is your heart right with God? Test it. Test it. Compare it to His standard. Don't be deceived. We certainly don't want to be deceived in the end. And the time to test and make sure is now, before it's everlastingly too late. And if you do find that a heart needs to be changed, will you allow it to be changed? If you need to change, if you need to obey the gospel or make some other change to make your heart right with God, I encourage you to do so. Do so now before it's too late. And now if it's something that we can help you as a congregation, that would be a perfect time to come and make your needs known as together we stand and sing.